I'd like now to welcome filmmaker Susan Abbott. Her film Homesick will be screening tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So this is a film that is very personal to you because you are a person with multiple chemical sensitivities, and it's basically a documentation of your journey and a lot of other people's journey with this illness. This is an illness that a lot of people have never heard of. It's also changed its name a few times over the years. What is it?
Well, it's been called environmental illness, multiple chemical sensitivities, even 21st century disease. It's basically your body kind of overreacting, over-responding, like allergies to chemicals. We've just had some kind of overexposure that makes us now more sensitive. For some, it's chemicals. For some, it's smoke, it's dyes, it's many things, diesel exhaust.
And for some, I mean, what it sounds like from the film is that many of the people who have this illness were exposed to some toxin, like a solvent or like new rugs that have all that nasty stuff in them before they off-gas and so on, to the point where their immune system just goes into total reactive mode. And from that point on, not only the chemical that screwed them up in the first place, but virtually everything else,
yes,
also becomes a thing to which they are reacting.
Right. There's not much that we know about what is physically occurring. It could be viral at this point or a neurological response. But yeah, the exposures could be anywhere from a nurse being exposed to a remodeling in a hospital. There was a case in Boston with the Brigham Women's Hospital. There were about five nurses that got extremely ill during that. Or closer to Taos, someone got sick. They were sitting outside in front of their house, and there was crop dusting right next door. Some people get a mold exposure. There was just something recently in the paper about someone getting sick from mold exposure, and then you become kind of an omni-responder.
Right.
Your immune system just breaks down and gets oversensitive. I wish I had Anne McCampbell here to kind of be the physician for us, because I, in layman's terms, that's all I know.
But it's almost like, I mean, what it looks like is that your immune system goes into on mode, and the off, there's just like no more off switch. It's just going all the time, so you are reacting and having flu symptoms or whatever kinds of symptoms. And for you and for many people, it's what? Fatigue, headache?
Well, I'm actually dealing with one right now, which is a little bit of brain fog. So I don't feel like I have all of my my brain matter with me. I get a lot of neurological symptoms. Yes, extreme fatigue, a lot of muscle weakness, joint and muscle pain, gastrointestinal stuff. It seems that it hits almost every system.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this is an illness that a lot of physicians and hospitals don't understand and sometimes don't even recognize.
Mm.
Is that still the case?
Well, that is less and less the case, but that's what the film is about, and its purpose is to really educate that when you meet so many people who have not met each other and they're talking about the same situations around their health, they use the same expression describing their symptoms or how they first got impacted. We're talking children, men, women, pretty much across the board, all races, although I wasn't able to get as many people as I would like. I was pretty limited.
Although it does seem to be more women.
Definitely more women. And my only guess is that because of our reproductive system, that we're a little bit more sensitive to that, that it, that gets affected and goes. But
yeah,
that's a guess. It's
yeah,
a guess. My job, it just felt like I did the exploring on my own. When I made the film many years ago and I shot the film, I was living in Boston and I came across the Southwest because this was before email, and there were just newsletters. And I was finding out from other people that they too had this experience, and they couldn't find a safe place to live that wasn't creating symptoms for them. So out of that came a road trip. And we visited four states. One person asked us to, you know, told us about another person and told us about another person. So it was like, you know, pre-internet.
And you've outfitted your automobile in such a way that you could sleep in it and not have any kind of toxic exposure when you were in there.
Yeah, I used an insulated foil to foil over the formaldehyde from the material in the van, and I used an organic futon and, you know, organic cotton. So there's video of that. And there's some interviews with me as the person who's taking the trip. There's me as the narrator kind of talking about what's happening, and me as interviewer, you know. So it was a difficult trip to make. It kind of freaked me out. I didn't have as much knowledge about what was going on until I met all of these people. And actually, Santa Fe at that time, I mean, we're talking 97 is when I did the original shooting of the film, that Santa Fe was the most organized politically, and they had the MCS task force, and they were trying to work with the legislature to raise awareness. So it just took forever to get the film finished because of my health and because of funding. But, you know, it's like fortunate and unfortunate that even though the film was made such a long time ago, it's still all the information holds true, unfortunately, for today. And the whole idea is to get people to see who it's affecting, how it's affecting it, and that it's continuing to grow as our environment continues to be more toxic and there's more chemicals in the air. This is a result.
We're talking to Susan Abbott about her film Homesick. Now, the reason it's called Homesick is because for so many people who have multiple chemical sensitivities, the biggest problem that they have to face is finding a non-toxic place to live. And that's something that you faced, and a lot of people end up living like in tents in their own yard, or they switch houses and apartments 47 times before they find a place to live. And you went through that.
Yes, I did. I feel very fortunate because I only had to move two or three times, and I also had the limitations of income. And so, you know, my first place in Watertown had mold in the basement, and also the air quality was so bad because the houses were so close to each other. I would get sick from people doing their laundry using Bounce and other fragranced products, or if the upstairs guys decided to put polish on their floor. But it was mostly the mold.
And mold is a natural substance.
Oh yeah.
So it's kind of ironic that a disease that's caused by human-created toxins, by and large, this naturally occurring thing, namely mold, ends up being such a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Black mold is pretty terrorizing. It really can kill. And I don't understand the difference. As I say, I'm a lay person. I just know that my job is to try to get my experience and the experience of others to be viewed in a way that doesn't freak you out, that's somewhat entertaining and has a little bit of music in it and takes you through some feelings, so that you're left hopefully with a wistful sense of despair that this is happening, but there's also the courageousness of all these people who continue on, and most of them, to try to find a safe haven for themselves. And they do that by doing the research, and there's a lot more information about it on the website. And there's also, since we interviewed these people in 97 and 98, we've kept up with them. So there's follow-up stories 20 years later to find out how some of them are doing on the website.
Do people heal from multiple chemical sensitivities? Do they go back to the way they were before?
Out of the subjects, there are two or three people that are doing really, really well. One family in particular who had gotten exposed to pesticides in Chicago moved to Wimberley, Texas. They had a lot of resources. They built a house on stilts, so it had an outdoor screen and indoor. And she homeschooled her children and really controlled the environment. And now the children are grown adults and they're out doing their own thing in society. And she's retired, but she still stays away from things, but she's pretty much better. So that's one. A lot of people are kind of holding their own. Some have died. Some have ended their own lives. So it's a mixed bag. It's kind of an overwhelming physical experience and emotional.
And it is something that, by and large, people tend to have. I mean, there was one person in there who you interview and you say, well, how long, when did you get this? And she said 1983. So people can, for 10, 20, 30 years, be having to live in such a way that they are avoiding toxicity, avoiding mold completely or as completely as they possibly can in order to just have the most basic life.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
So you did eventually find a place where you could live and breathe and not get too sick here in Santa Fe.
Right. It's actually out in El Dorado. And yeah, I'm a very lucky person. I had some friends help me. But even the house that I'm living in now, because of the way the house is built with flat roofs and we had this huge rain, there's a leak in the roof. There is some mold I'm having to, you know, remediate, which is probably one of the reasons why I'm not doing so great today. So the house is never completely safe. Unless, you know, you live outside all year round, you can heal, I think. But that's pretty bizarre. But I know a few people have done that, lived in tents, and just stayed close to the ground for a year and ate right.
Now, what is the role of food? Do you end up having also reactions to certain foods or to, you know, factory-produced foods and things like that? Do you have to go organic?
Oh, yeah. Can't have anything processed. Your system will really give you a lot of symptoms. That's been the experience of most people that I've talked to. And because it affects everybody's system differently, whatever your deficiencies were before you got sick, some people's gastrointestinal systems are set differently. Some are only down to a few foods that they can have. One woman had to be on a feeding tube for a while. So I'm fortunate I can eat some organic proteins and vegetables, but it all has to be cooked. And if not, I just am in a lot of pain or get wiped out.
Do you know how you got this illness?
I have a couple of guesses, but I don't. Some people really know. One day they were well, and the next day, like, there's several people in the film that, you know, they snapped their fingers and it was done. I think that I was being a musician at night, and during the day I was a temp working at MIT. And the building that I was working on, they were refurbishing it. And it was a very old building, and I believe there was asbestos and other things. And they had this big funnel right outside the window where I was working, where all the debris was being funneled out. And I just remember every day noticing as I was walking up the subway stairs, it was getting harder and harder for me to walk up those stairs. So I think it was a combination of that, being in that building and a couple of other kind of sick buildings, that gave me this, you know, this syndrome. Yeah.
We're talking to Susan Abbott about her film Homesick. Now, I think that people with multiple chemical sensitivities or environmental illness, as it's also called, in a lot of ways are kind of canaries in the coal mine of a toxic society.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's pretty apt. In fact, our logo includes a canary sitting on top of the dots the I of Homesick.
Ah, okay. In the logo for the film Homesick. Yeah. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The yellow canary. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking as I was watching this, I mean, what would be the right thing to do? Well, first of all, have doctors believe you when you come in with these. I mean, a lot of people who have this illness, as you document in your film, are basically sent away saying, oh, it's all in your mind.
Well, some doctors, yes, but there are some doctors. There's a American Environmental Doctors Association, Environmental Medicine Association, that there's starting to be more and more doctors that are joining this organization, where they're finding the traces of chemicals in fat tissue, in blood, so that they can say, yes, this is occurring. There's evidence of this occurring. The other response would be to reduce the chemical load in our society and the amount of chemicals that are in our society now, used a lot unnecessarily, really are hazardous. So just to be aware that there are so many other simpler solutions. But then again, we're fighting really big companies here.
Right. I mean, the solution for people with chemical sensitivities would also represent a solution for the entire environment, wildlife, and everything else, which is have the waste that comes out of manufacturing be non-toxic and go through all the research and development that's necessary to make products that we use in a clean and biodegradable way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, since I've been ill, there's definitely this trend of simpler products. Even Tide has, you know, they're responding to consumer demand of needing more simply made things. But now they're coming out with, you know, horrors. You know, like Glade has these commercials of air fresheners where people are in the woods and they're smelling the fresh air and all of that, and then they come up with this package like you can have this fresh air smell in your own bathroom, and here it is, and it's like made of chemicals.
I had a friend who, a housemate who brought home, I don't know what it was, some kind of air freshener. It was so, and I don't have multiple chemical sensitivity, but it was so toxic that I made him take the thing out and put it in a dumpster 100 feet away from the house.
Yeah.
It was so disgusting, and I had to air out the house for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in those things. There are some dryer sheets that are the same way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The phenols, and it's crazy. And I guess, you know, everybody has different levels of this chemical sensitivity that some people will be able to identify with, you know, if they're exposed to tobacco smoke, boy, they really get headaches, or if they sit next to somebody with perfume, or they can't walk down the detergent aisle of a grocery store. But they're able to work and all of that. So there's a certain amount of straws of exposure that you can function with. And for me, there was an extra straw just kind of made me a universal reactor.
It breaks the camel's back.
It does. It does.
And I think what you're saying is very important, because we are all, to a greater or lesser extent, somewhere on the spectrum of reactivity. And the most healthy, robust person in the world, if exposed for too long to something really toxic, is going to get sick.
Unfortunately, yeah, I have met a lot of people, especially men who were landscapers, and they were using a lot of pesticides in their work. And one of them is living, I don't know how they're going to manage now that the government's shut down and they've closed the parks, but that's where he's been living.
In a national park.
Yeah. So, yeah, even the robust of people. I interviewed photographers, architects, doctors who got sick from being in the hospital right next to where they were cleaning the instruments with formaldehyde and glutaraldehyde. You just kind of don't know where it's going to happen.
The film is called Homesick, and its premiere screening is tomorrow, Saturday, October 5th at 2 o'clock at the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living. It's on Camino de los Marques here in Santa Fe, right near the Santa Fe Baking Company. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to this film, please do not wear strong perfumes and deodorants and aftershaves and all those kinds of things. and it is wheelchair accessible. For more information, you can go to homesick-video.com. Susan Abbott, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.